Welcome to Visible by Numbers with your host, Allison Bachman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Visible by Numbers. This is Allison. And I hope you all had a wonderful weekend. I know I did. I was in New York visiting my family for the weekend. I had a great time. I also hope you're all doing really well this evening. And thank you so much for joining me. I have a special guest this evening, Carolyn Evers. You know her and love her from The Messenger, The Message, and Cosmic Creations, three fabulous shows right here on BBS Radio, the number one worldwide internet talk radio network on the planet, and she's also the author of several books. And tonight we're going to be putting our collective heads together and discussing the Akashic Records, mine from the perspective of what I see from numerology, and hers from her wonderful experience from reading the Akashic Records with the help of her angels and guides. We're also going to be discussing all sorts of things, past lives and Lord knows what else. So please join me as I welcome Carolyn to the show. Hi, Carolyn. You there?
Hi, Allison. I just love being here, and I was listening intently to your introduction, and I was just wondering how big a collective head would be.
Okay. Well, I think yours might be a little bit bigger than mine, but I...
Oh, my golly. Two collective heads. I love it.
Well, putting our brains together, putting our heads together, putting our experience together, however you want to put it, Carolyn, don't give me a hard time.
Okay. I'm not giving you a hard time, darling. I just love it.
Okay, Carolyn, let me just get through this so we can kind of explain to people what's going on here before we put our heads together, okay? So try to keep yours in your own space right now, okay? Now, numerology is based upon the belief that we live many, many lives, and our soul experiences from past lives are reflected in our numbers. And I personally look at a person's numerology chart as being part of their Akashic Records, and specifically that part that deals with their soul intention in this lifetime. Their numerology chart reflects potential growth for the soul through their life experiences and what the soul is trying to achieve in this lifetime. It's written in the numbers, all of it. And although we don't remember signing up for this stuff, nonetheless, the experiences will come in at just the right time in our lives to be the catalyst for our soul growth. Now, you, on the other hand, have the ability to connect to the records of the history of the soul since its birth. So, Carolyn, I was wondering if you could just tell your listeners, some of whom might not be completely familiar with the term Akashic Records, what are they exactly in your words and your experience?
Actually, there's many records. It's basically experience that has been recorded. And each of us carry our own experiences recorded in our own subtle bodies of everything that we have done in this lifetime. So anything we have said, we've thought, we've interacted with others, there is a record there. It at death, that then transfers up to another higher level. And actually, there are many places of records. We have an area that holds the planetary records, the experiences of this planet. We have a place where the galactic records are held. And so this information, you might say, goes up through the levels, and at each level, new experience is recorded until eventually it finds that place in the center of the cosmos where everything, all human, maybe human isn't the word to use, all soul experiences are recorded by and cared for by a group of cherubim. And then another group of cherubim are working with all of the energies and, again, experience of the entire cosmos. They carry this energy It's imprinted on anything that has ever happened in space, any history of any sort from the very beginning of time as we know it. Actually, not time, vibration. The cherubim tell us that there was a period where there was not vibration. They don't know about that, but what they do know is the beginning of vibration, and so it is almost like a ribbon that weaves itself around the entire cosmos, making circles, gathering everything that has ever happened in the cosmos in another record. I am in awe when I work with the cherubim and read this at the beauty of God's sources, creation. It just holds me in awe.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, it's not, your explanation was wonderful, absolutely. But it's really interesting because I can hear you connecting to that, and I can actually feel you being in awe of it. And I know that when I do numerology readings and I look at the soul's intention in this lifetime and what it is it sought, and how those numbers are actually configured in such a way to bring about those experiences. And certainly, certain numbers in charts actually bring in the experience for the soul. And sometimes I'm in an absolute awe of souls and what they have chosen to do in this lifetime. That sometimes, I'm literally quite often brought to tears by, you know, someone is thanking me immensely for this reading, and I want to turn around and say, no, thank you for what you chose to do, because I'm in awe of what beautiful souls and what beautiful things that we come to do. I mean, I recently, I can give you an example if you want, that was just, it floored me, because I was doing, I was participating with the Hay House promotion for Sonia Chiquette's new book, and so I was offering a 15-minute, it's kind of like an overview of a numerology chart, for various people that purchased the book. So I had this wonderful, wonderful, amazing learning opportunity to do quite a few, tons actually, of readings for people. But it's a wonderful experience. And this one girl in particular, it was so amazing that some of the numbers in her chart would have been the five. There was a lot of it in the chart, in the core numbers. And five, having one five is a wonderful thing. Having a lot of that energy, it actually can be a negative sort of an effect upon you, because fives love their freedom and they don't like anything to restrict them, and they're very tied to the physical body. So because they want their freedom and because the physical is very important to them, they have a very hard time with moderation or temperance, and these are the kind of people that would have problems with addictive personalities. And I did, as I was doing her reading, I was explaining this to her, and then I was touched upon a certain time in her life, and I said, well, you know, what I can see in this area of your life is you had these 7 years in a row that really looked as though, you know, this is a very difficult time for you. It would be called dark night of the soul. It would have been, seemed as though nothing was going in your favor and nothing was going your way, and it was a time of deep soul searching. And I said, and as I continued on, I said, you know, I was reading the maturity number, and I said, but as you move past this and as you get into your maturity, you're actually taking that which you've learned through life, and you're actually using it to be of service and to help others, because the nine always represents the humanitarian and someone who wants to help those that are less fortunate. And when it was all said and done, she told me that she herself had gone through cocaine addiction for 7 years at the exact time that was depicted in the chart, and that she hit rock bottom and managed to get clean and get off the drugs. And then once she was back, you know, back to herself and over the addiction, she realized that her purpose in life and what she wanted to do was to actually help other women with addiction. And so she was actually in going and being a counselor for these women. And, you know, you step back and you look at this chart and you have to be in awe of the plan of this soul and what it intended in this lifetime to even take on something like addiction in order to gain the experience, so that one really can't counsel people about addiction unless, you know, you've walked in those shoes, so to speak. So I really found, you know, things like that is what I see in numerology charts that always puts me in, you know, absolute awe, like you were saying, of the souls and what we do.
I think I would agree with you entirely with that. I I have a sense that this is God's plan, whether it's numerology, whether it's doing a reading from the Akashic Records. It's like a signpost, and it reminded me very much of that when you were talking about this lady's chart and what you perceived there, because, as I've often said, we don't actually come here with an operational manual. Sometimes it gets a little heavy trying to decide where we came from, where we're going. And so these readings, whether you're reading the numbers or whether you're reading some other aspect of a person's experience, to me, it's a true gift from Source. It helps people to understand some of these pre-birth agreements and missions that they have decided upon. And I think that's where the numbers show up. So is the person came in on a certain energy path. That energy path set up or was the setting up of a certain objective, a certain missions. And so reading their chart, as you are doing, is helping the individual to focus and to understand the purpose that they set out before them. When you're reading an Akashic record, many times we go back to the point of this beautiful moment when Source called forth that soul from nothingness. And some of the words that the cherubim use in describing this, the wonder and the joy of this newly formed soul looking about them and perceiving and seeing Source. One second there was nothing, and the next second there is this consciousness, this understanding. And so to be able to go back to that moment and to have the colors described as to the colors that Source used in bringing this forth, and the energies and the thoughts and the determination, because this soul is like a fingerprint in this magnificent web of weaving that Source put together in the plan. And no matter how many of us there are, you know, we look around in this world and we think of all the beings here in our state, in our country, in the universe, in the cosmos, and sometimes it's easy to feel lost in all of that, but yet Source knows and understands us as we are, each and every one of us, a part of Source. And right. To me, that is so beautiful.
Right. And we are imprinted with a cosmic code. I really, you know, when you use that, it's so, you know, I'll do the numerology, but sometimes it's not so much a matter of telling them of what they're supposed to do. They already know what they're supposed to do,
mm-hmm.
and oftentimes they're actually doing it. But what I do with the numerology is to come along and validate that inner knowing that they have, this, as you call, code that they bring with them, knowing that in this lifetime this is what they're seeking and what they're wanting to achieve. And I just validate that based on the energy of their numbers. And another thing that I really want to just take a moment and say about numerology, I don't know so much with the Akashic Records if you do this, but what I see very often in a chart, there is no right or wrong. And we oftentimes see our spiritual teachers, like John Holland and James von Prague, or even Conversations with God, that book with Neil Diamond Walsh, it is all telling us there's no such thing as right and wrong, that everything serves to teach or to raise our vibration or to elevate our soul knowledge, to maybe give back to the cosmic consciousness of what you describe as, you know, the middle of the cosmos where all this knowledge goes. But there's no right or wrong, because charts, when you look at numerology charts, they are skewed in such a fashion, you know, that this person is actually coming in with certain issues that they, you can absolutely tell from looking at the way the numbers are configured, that this mm-hmm. is actually going to set them back, and they're actually working their way through that particular energy, trying to understand it maybe from various different aspects. And I find that that's really fascinating. Like, just to give you an example, you know, the sixth energy is a cosmic mother, loving, caring, nurturing energy. Person carrying that energy may come in many, many lifetimes to actually experience the many facets of that particular energy, looking at it from every different direction, from accepting too much duty and responsibility and actually martyring oneself for the care of others, or perhaps refusing to accept that duty and responsibility and seeing the consequences of that, all of which is more or less is an experiment. It brings to that soul certain knowledge. So, you know, that's another thing that I see with numerology chart, that oftentimes, if you can impart that information to the person that you're reading, you can actually take away some of the feelings of guilt, or feeling as though they failed, or feeling as though perhaps they failed at a marriage or a relationship or with a job or whatever. And you can impart to them and make them understand that sometimes the numbers are actually teaching that particular lesson or giving them that particular experience so that they can grow from it. And rather than looking up back upon it as though it's a negative thing, they need to look at the various different things in their life as actually triumphs of the soul. Because really that's what the numerology is talking about, is the triumphs of the soul throughout this lifetime, the potential that lies there, getting to that place, understanding and getting that knowledge and moving on. It's just an amazing thing, really. And I'm sure you find the same thing with your Akashic readings. I've had quite the same experiences, I would think.
Oh, I love that word, triumph of the soul. It is so beautiful. I think the soul understands these things. It is the ego that doesn't quite have the insight into these principles. And so that, to my point of view, is what the numerology readings are doing, and the Akashic readings are doing, is they are speaking to the ego. As I said earlier, we don't come into
really
an operation.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I love that.
We don't have an operational manual, and I think the closest thing that perhaps we're going to get to this, where we can judge, where we can validate our most secret and inner thoughts, is through these readings. I think that's why the system exists. In other words, this system of numbers is going to exist. This system of Akashic material is going to exist. But it is the transferring of that information to the ego that helps connect the ego to the soul. This is how I perceive it. It gives the ego an overview of a much larger picture, and we're easier able to find our place in that.
I absolutely love that perspective, and that does, I love that. I'm just like, good one, good one.
Thumbs
I'm
up.
Like, kudos. Yeah, I'm like, yeah. That I love the way you put that, and that really, because you are speaking to the ego and reminding it of the soul purpose, and you're absolutely right, you're absolutely right.
Yes.
Listen, I just want to take a quick break here, or more or less to let our listeners know that our lines are open, and we will be taking your calls. Matter of fact, we'd love to take your calls. Whether you have a question for Carolyn or myself, perhaps you'd be interested in getting a reading, because, you know, the two of us do readings. I'm sure we could come up with a reading for you. So I want to let you know, if you happen to, we're going to be talking about past lives and how numerology and, of course, Akashic Records, there's a lot of reflection about where you've been in the past life, what wisdom you brought with you into this lifetime. And certainly if you have an experience, or if you recall the past life, or you'd like to share that with a listening audience, we'd be more than happy to hear that from you as well. And so let me give you the toll-free numbers to call in on. You can call toll-free in the USA at 1-877-876-5227. You can call toll-free from Canada at 1-888-810-8322. And certainly you can call direct from California at 530-876-3222. And like I said, you know, if you've got a question for Carolyn or myself, want to share a past life memory, or perhaps a reading that you've had, or want us to do a reading, we'd be happy to do so. The lines are indeed open. And for those of you just joining the program, this is Allison Bachman, and my guest tonight is Carolyn Evers, and she's the host of three fabulous radio shows right here on BBS Radio, and we're discussing past lives and the Akashic Records. We're taking your calls and questions, and I do think that we just got a caller. Hi.
Hi there.
We're calling, please.
Hi, this is Molly.
Hi, Molly. How are you?
Fine. How are you doing? This is very
pretty good. What? You have a question, or what can we do for you?
I was just wondering if Carolyn can do any kind of like a little mini reading or anything about the Akashic for me.
We can, Molly. This is not like a psychic reading where a person will start reading the energies as such. We need a question or some area where you are interested. And the reason for this is if you think about all of your experiences since your soul was created, it's quite a few. And so we need to have some sort of direction as to where to go. So if you have maybe a concern or a thought, something you wanted to pursue, does something come to mind that you might want to know about?
Just basically about, you know, what my lifetime is, this lifetime, if you can get that from that, or is that all past?
No,
lifetime?
No, this would be a good area. In other words, is a good way to phrase this, you want to know what your mission is or what your soul decided to take on this time around?
Yes.
Okay.
Is the Akashic Records past and future, or is it just past?
You know, I don't usually have people ask about the future.
Mm-hmm.
However, what the cherubim are showing me now is it is like a circle. It is like a circle of energy. And time as we know it doesn't exist outside of this system that we're living in, not so much the system, but rather the level, the dimension that we are in.
So basically, we see things linear. Uh-huh.
Outside of that, this is energy that is all one. So from that point of view, we could be discussing the future. But let us look, Molly, first at, and give me a second to connect to your book. They show your record as a book, though it's not really. It's really more a circular energy pattern on a magnetic strip. But
I feel like a book sometimes.
Yeah, they explain it as a book because we're human and this is how we understand it.
Yes.
And actually, what they're showing me now, they have your book. They've pulled your book out. And they are showing me the cover of the book. Most of the books have brown covers, which means that the people, the souls whose record this is, was called forth on the pink ray of love. They're not showing me a book with a brown cover for you.
Uh-oh.
No, that's a good thing.
Okay.
The majority of the souls that were created were called in on the pink ray. This book is very beautiful. There is a circular pattern on the front that moves inward like the eddy in a stream.
Ooh.
And what this means, my dear, is that at some point, Source asked the cherubim for your record, for your specific record to review. It is going in very quickly, almost like a key that we can unlock the door, going through that geometric shape that Source placed upon your record. And they are suggesting that I go into the record that way to find the reason that Source asked for your record. And so we go into that, and what we see there is a temple. It is a very beautiful temple. It is a temple that is similar to what we think of as the Greek kind of a temple. It is a place of learning, though it isn't from Greece. It is from the very early history of the human race. When the human race first came here, they came with a group of teachers. These teachers came from the cosmos. They're not telling me where they came before they came through the planetary system of Sirius, and they are showing me that this was your path. You came, and that it's of more service to you to discuss this aspect of your journey. So you came through Sirius with, and they're showing me the scrolls that you were holding. It's so beautiful. It's like your arms are just full of all of these scrolls. What it really is was this great knowledge that you brought to this planetary system from another system. You were working with the Elohim. You were called forth by the Elohim to bring this specific information to the planet. This is what's why Source asked for your records. Source wanted to see how the implementation of this very ancient knowledge was being implemented, shall we say, the success, or not so much the success, but the sense of the moment, how that information was being implemented into this the spiritual realms here on this planet. So you were here at the very beginning. You have served very well in this. And it is for this very reason that you have come back to Earth at this point in time, because this knowledge that you carried to this planetary system in the very beginning is recorded, encoded within your soul. You don't really need a scroll, so to say. It is there. It is imprinted in your soul, this great knowledge that you have come back again to bring to this planet during this period of advancement that we are calling the ascension process. They are going to suggest one thing, is that you meditate more and you consciously connect to this information that you can walk into the power of your mastery.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow, that's incredible. Well, thank you.
Yes, it is.
Not too much pressure there, Molly.
Yeah. No pressure,
okay.
No pressure, huh?
None at all. Okay.
Well, thank you very much.
And I do want to kind of let everyone know that I've done Molly's complete chart. There's really no point in me sharing her numerology. I think she has it memorized by now, don't you?
I think so.
Okay, good.
And no pressure from you, Allison, either. Now no pressure from Carolyn. So.
As a matter of fact, Carolyn, I've told Molly that she's a master and that she's got some serious work to do in this lifetime. So pretty much that concurs with what you said. So it's
thank
rather
you for saying that. I wanted to see where the connection was between what you had given Molly and what I just gave for Molly. So what? Because this is basically what we're exploring here is
right.
Whether the two systems are supporting one another.
Well, to validate for you, of course, Molly knows all this stuff, but she's an 11 life path and a messenger, and she has. You know, that's generally, you know, she has some specific work to do in this lifetime, and it's a message that she has to deliver, and it's a message based upon her spiritual truth and her experiences. And specifically, her chart is really pointing to her latter years as a time to begin this mastery and to begin this work. There's been a catalyst for this in her life, and she's done some extraordinary things. And I'm rather proud of her. So I really want to validate for you. Of course, Molly can as well.
Yes.
That this.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, ladies.
Well, thanks, Molly. Now, listen, you know, just relax. It's okay. You can do it, okay?
No pressure, right? Okay.
None whatsoever, dear.
No pressure.
Molly, I'm a member of humanity, and I know that you came for a message and to do something to help me out. So I'll just stand by and wait for you to get down to business and get this thing done, okay?
Exactly.
Okay, because I'm human. I'm calling in my chips here. So get busy, girl.
Okay.
You can do it.
Thanks.
Love you, Molly. Talk to you later.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, that was very fascinating. Yes, and I really believe that there is a big connection between what you do and what I do. Although mine may be focused a little bit more on this lifetime, but certainly you validate that through your readings. I know when you did my reading, I don't know if I should share this or not. Would you like me to share it, Carolyn, or not?
You can, whatever you feel is appropriate. I've got, matter of fact, I took your reading off the computer, so I've got it right here in front of me if you want to go for it.
Well, I'm not really, and I have to precursor what I'm going to say by saying that I don't really call myself anything but, you know, I'm just another soul, you know, doing my work, and I don't put master anything in front of anything with myself. I don't think that I'm particularly gifted at anything. I'm just doing what is my greatest joy, which is helping people. And I don't really go there you know, thinking, ego, I guess. I kind of shy quite a bit away from that.
Mm-hmm.
But, Carolyn, you did a reading for me, and I was rather kind of blown away because as you were talking about my scientific, the fact that I'm quite scientific, and I am, and the fact that in past lives I, rather than got around people and got involved with people, I preferred to, you know, work my experiments and rather isolated myself. And you had a specific name that you said that I was in a past life. Now, I precursor this with the fact that I have no ego. But you did say that I was Madame Curie in a past life. And the reason why that struck me like a ton of bricks is because I think you all know from reading my bio pages that I was an avid reader of biographies as a child. And one of my very favorite biographies was that of Madame Curie. And I don't know how many 8 or 9 year olds you can put in a phone booth, not that they have phone booths anymore, but that could actually read Madame Curie as a child and remembered it, but I did. And then the other extraordinary thing that struck me rather funny is almost my entire life, I almost had this fear of x-ray machines. It was always very traumatic for me to have to go in and get an x-ray. I just didn't like them. I didn't know why I didn't like them. I just didn't like them. And, of course, if you know Madame Curie's life and what she did, she actually died from radiation poisoning having to do with her work in x-rays in the whole nine yards. And what was even more fascinating for me was her two family names. I believe it was her mother and her sister was Greta and Irene. And they were family names. And I unknowingly had named my daughter Greta Irene. I didn't recall any of this from the book that I read when I was a child. It wasn't until I revisited Madame Curie after your reading that I discovered that she actually had a sister and a mother named Greta and Irene. And then I realized that I had named my daughter Greta Irene. So, and the fact that I'm very scientific and yet at the same time very spiritual, you know, it just amazed me how incredibly, you know, it resonated to me what it was you were saying. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was just amazing reading. So I just want to, I don't know if anybody's experienced, I'm sure you have much feedback that's quite the same, but I just, for me, it was a very validating experience, because like I said, I don't know, we can take a poll amongst our listeners. If you've read Madame Curie, please call in, but I just think it's rather extraordinary that I was that I was so familiar with Madame Curie and had actually read her biography, so, okay, did you have something to say about that?
Well, I was just going to say that they identified Madame Curie as being an individual whose life you actually led, because they said that you were already aware of her essence, that you didn't have the memory of her daily activities, but you were very much aware of her essence. And I think this is true for many of us, and I think that's a very valid point. We might not consciously, when we come to past lifetimes, we might not consciously remember like we do in this lifetime, oh, I got up this morning, I had breakfast, and remember the routines that you did, but you have the sense of that essence of that individual. And so I think that when somebody tells you or informs or brings forth this information in these past lifetimes, you're not necessarily going to remember the daily routine, but you're going to feel within your heart this sense of, aha, yes, I understand. I remember what that was like. This is what I was learning.
Right. Well, I think one thing about past lives is it's hard for me because of being numerology. Really, the reason why I studied it to the extent that I did was because I could not get over how incredibly accurate it was, and I couldn't understand how this worked, and so therefore I just continued to read and study. And although I knew it without really having to read anything, I still continued that journey. But I think what's really interesting about past lives, you know, you can't necessarily prove it, and so that creates an issue for me. But I had a medium once that was telling me, you know, was talking about that it said that I had been an artist and that my painting still hung in galleries and that I had also been a scribe of sorts and that I could probably find my manuscripts still here on this planet, things that I wrote eons ago in past lives. And I also want to say that the one thing I noticed as a child, can you imagine what kind of a weird child I was? But I could never understand why I was a terrible drawer. I mean, literally speaking, I was always in awe of the other students in the class that they could draw these beautiful drawings, and I just seemed to be challenged in that area. And when it came to I can remember my teacher teaching us about the Native American Indians and about, you know, how you have to draw the corn and you have to draw their teepees, and you have to draw all these things having to do with the Native American Indians. All of a sudden, I was Picasso. All of a sudden, I could draw these things. I saw them, I drew detail. I always remember looking at that and thinking, even as a child, this is very odd. How is it that I can draw these things, but I can't draw this other stuff? But that's what makes me think that there's a soul recognition somewhere inside of you where you pull forth or bring forth those memories or that knowledge from past lives, and you actually can use that in this lifetime as well. You know, you see what I'm saying about the pictures?
Oh, I agree. I agree with that entirely, Allison, and I think that we have this connection of soul memory. It probably works through the emotional body in the subtle body around our physical body that taps into that reservoir. And so, yes, what we've learned in other lifetimes, we can use that. We might not remember exactly where that came from, but, you know, there are some things that, as an individual, you know not to go there. Mm-hmm. And so we stay away from certain pitfalls because we've experienced them before. The same way there's some areas... Yeah?
I was just going to say that is so incredibly true, especially in numerology, especially with people that have karmic numbers, because they know they've brought this in from a past life and they're actually working it through in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And one example would be a person with a 19-1, and the 19 is an indication of abuse of power in a past lifetime. And so when this person comes into this lifetime, quite often they come in powerless or absolutely they refuse to step into that power again because they don't want to abuse it. And so they do everything they can to stay away from it because they know it got them in trouble in a past life. And so they're very cautious. And almost all of the karmic numbers, you can see where that person, you know, like the 13-4, that person in the past life actually avoided discipline, avoided hard work, avoided all of those things, and possibly wasted a good deal of their talents and abilities. So as they come into this lifetime, sometimes they can be so, almost like their own taskmaster, so absolutely disciplining themselves and making themselves do this and following lists. There's a word for it. Sometimes they can be so anal, working themselves to the bone, to death, because they want to make sure that they get it right this time. And you can always tell when you have those karmic numbers, you actually see where a person shies away from whatever it is they did, and they come in, you know, very specifically with behaviors that say that they're shying away from the mistake that they made in a past lifetime.
I would agree with that, but taking it a step further, where the journey of the soul is concerned, there will then come at another time where that soul is going to have to learn to balance that lesson. Okay, so they learn this lesson of power, and so they know to stay away from it. They know, but they haven't learned how to handle that yet. They haven't learned how to integrate it yet. So perhaps one of the future incarnations is going to be, okay, I understand now not to abuse power. I've abused it once. I understand the problems. I know not to abuse it. But then they're going to have to come to some point of balance, because we all must walk into our mastery. Power is part of our mastery.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. And usually with karma, it does work itself out in this lifetime. It usually works itself out more towards maturity, more towards later on in life. But I find it fascinating that if someone's coming in, and specifically the number saying that there was an abuse of power, and they come in powerless, well, if you could imagine what the actual karma was, is that they were in a position of power, probably very successful, or perhaps, they could have been a political leader or whatever. And at some point in their life, they also knew right from wrong, meaning they understood spiritual law. But at some point in their life, they made a decision for themselves. And it was a decision that only they benefited from. And in the process of that decision, someone else got hurt. So I find it fascinating that as they come into this lifetime, they come in without their power. It's almost as though they're putting themselves in the places of the person that actually suffered because of their decision in a past lifetime. So that this soul can understand and experience that which they did to another person, or how they made that person feel, or how that person may have suffered. And so they come into this lifetime, and for a certain amount of time in their lives, they feel what that feels like to be without power. So that the soul understands, and then eventually that person will step into their power, only this time use it wisely, and this time not make the same mistakes of the past lifetime. So it doesn't have to be many, many lifetimes. Quite often it's resolved simply in one lifetime. But again, I do think that we come in looking at the numbers, the energy of the numbers, from various different points. So we may be working on the energy of one number many, many lifetimes to see it from
the essence. What you're saying is if you have a reading with a good numerology reading like you do, you get an Akashic reading, and one that is in depth over these questions, it seems to me that having this information, it kind of sorts things out for you and makes like a shortcut to where you need to go.
There you go. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because once you understand that you're dealing with a lesson and that you're working on in this lifetime, and you know how to resolve the actual lesson, then you can work a little bit harder at resolving it. And you understand where you're coming from and how to work it out and how to, achieve what it is you came to do. So you're
It becomes a lot easier when you have that awareness.
Exactly, exactly.
And these are the tools that bring awareness, I believe.
And also, I'm sure that you, through your Akashic record readings, empower people with knowledge about what their talents and abilities are and what their capabilities are. Oftentimes people are sitting there with incredible amount of writing ability or artistic ability, and they've not really tapped into it or made use out of it. And you come along and you tell them, I'm sorry, I don't care that you don't write. I'm telling you that you need to start trying to write because you have an ability with words and communication. Now, whether it's speaking them or writing them, I'm not for sure, but, please do try this. And then you'll get a letter or you'll get something, many years later, and that person will be saying, you're not going to believe this. Whether they've published something or written a book or took up public speaking or whatever. I even had one girl who, her father actually wanted her to use her college education for business, but she wanted to be in theater. And he thought at her age, God forbid, he thought 30 was old. That was a silly time to start trying to go into theater. And I did her reading, and I was telling her about this incredible ability for acting and for speaking, and that she had this wonderful artistic ability, dance, all of it. And she asked me, she said, well, what do you think I should do? And I said, the last thing I think you should be is an accountant or be in business. I think that where you need to be is to actually go where your heart is, and that's in acting or theater. And she called me about, I think it was 9 months later, and she actually had the lead in a very major play in her area, which is rather large place, and actually had leads on, they were actually calling her in for other leads as well. So it was rather fascinating. And I
love it.
That we have a caller, so I guess I better be quiet and see who's calling. Hi, who's calling?
Hi, it's Marianne Elisa. You did a reading for me recently, too.
Well, hi there. How are you?
Good. I actually have a question for Carolyn. And
sure.
It relates to, the question is, what is the relationship with my son according to the Akashic records? Like, what karmic relationship?
That's a very broad question. Did you say it was Alice? What was your name?
My name is Marianne.
Marianne, okay. Now you're questioning this relationship that you have with your son. Are you feeling stress there? I mean, are we looking at it from the point of stress or very compatible? I mean, what direction are we looking at that?
There's a connection, a tie, and a feeling of obligation. He is it's a stressful but very loving relationship. We both love each other very much, but our energies are so different. And I asked because he wants me to move to California, and I'm on the East Coast, and I'm just not sure about that kind of move because our energies are so different. It's like an uprooting thing. So I just thought maybe the Akashic records had...
Okay.
Like what karma...
What is your son? What is your son's name?
It's Derek.
Derek?
Yes.
Okay. And... well, just my human self is telling me that you're just reading what you're saying is you're feeling some sense of responsibility in this, and your human nature is telling you that perhaps this might not be a very harmonious relationship if you move, and you don't want to give up everything without having some sense of what's the purpose of this. Is that about right?
Right. Like, am I supposed to do this? Am I supposed to help him in his next phase of his life? I've always helped him along the way. But he is married, and his next phase would be having children. I don't know.
Before I ask that question, go to the cherubim with this, what's in your heart? How do you feel about this? Apparently there is
I adore him. I love my son. I just
But I mean about
him.
Moving. Oh, yes, you love your
son. Terrified, you know. Just
you're terrified, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a sense of, yes, I want to, I need to, but no, I don't. Okay, I've got a pretty good picture. See, I have to know exactly where the person's coming from so we can get an accurate answer. That's why I ask these questions.
That's fine.
Okay. The cherubim are standing there. They have your record. They give the appearance of the female, the mother. They're feeling this role towards the human race, though they are androgynous, and they are looking at that relationship in particular. It goes back over many lifetimes. This is not a new relationship between you and your son, but rather an old relationship. I'm seeing many lifetimes where you were sitting at his knee, he teaching you. I see others where you are teaching him. So there has been many relationships of the teacher and the student.
Yes.
That is where the love and appreciation comes in, because you have worked that. You have worked that, how shall we say, that feature or that avenue many times, and you're very comfortable in that respect. It is not just love, but it is the respect that goes with it. So the two of you at one point or another have had authority in relationships with one another, like you might think of that the mother has an authority with the child. Well, you've had many of these relationships between the two of this authority, so to speak. And that is where this very comforting feeling of love is coming between the two of you. And yes, you did agree. You did agree to be his support. this time. He is there. He was there for a very particular reason. You gave him the support that he needed. But they are showing me a door closing. Mm-hmm. He walked through a door which, in essence, ended your responsibility to the commitment that you made to him before coming into this lifetime. And they are saying now that it is your decision, your own ego personal decision, as to whether you wish to pursue this. But from the point of view of the promise that you made has been fulfilled. You've filled your part. And they are suggesting to look within your own heart what your needs are now and to live them wherever you see that taking you.
Carolyn?
Does that help?
Yeah, it really does, because I feel this pull towards him, but it's like wanting to also be aware of my own needs
yes.
right now. And
it's time for you now.
Yeah, right, but it's...
Right.
It's just so easy to be his mother and, you know, to be always that, playing that role, the support. And but, yeah, no, that fits. That it really does. It feels
Marianne?
Good when you say that it's the door has closed. Yes?
Yes, this is Allison, and I would really love to continue letting you discuss this with Carolyn. But, unfortunately, we have about 30 seconds left on the show.
Okay.
So what I would suggest is possibly contact Carolyn at carolynevers.com, and certainly looking at your son's numerology, both yours and his in comparison, on
right.
a deeper scale, both ways would help you to figure this out. But we have to close the program, and I do appreciate your calling, okay?
Thank you so much, both
okay.
of you. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
You're
bye.
Welcome. Well, I guess that hour passed very, very quickly, Carolyn. It's time for us to go, and I really appreciate you joining me. This evening,
before we
and I
go,
thank
John,
everyone.
Let us tell them the website, carolynevers.com. Check out the conference calls up at the top right corner.
Right. We've both got some conference calls going on, people, so be sure to check them out on Carolyn's and also on my bio page. And so we got to go. I'm sorry. Otherwise, Don will kick us out of here because you know how he is now about those rules. We got to be out on time.
It.
So we got to go. So we wish you... Everyone that's listening, we wish you love, peace, and abundance. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you, Carolyn. Always a pleasure.
Mine too. Goodbye. Love you all.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Thank you for joining us this evening. For more information, or if you wish to contact Allison for a reading, please visit www.visiblebynumbers.com or email Allison at alynch@ptd.net. Have a wonderful evening and be well.